the Word of God, please, and turn with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92, as we stand to our feet in honor of the Word of God. Psalm 92, verse number 1. The psalmist writes, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp with a solemn hand. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands." I want to preach this morning on, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, for your promises. Lord, we thank you that we're on the winning side. And I thank you, God, all this happened because of Jesus Christ, his love for us, as he came and died on the cross for our sins and paved the way for us to have everlasting life. I pray, Lord, for those that are here today that may have never received Christ as their Savior, that do not have the assurance that heaven's going to be their home, I pray that this day would be the day, the glad day of salvation in their life. For those of us that are saved, I pray that you'll help us to take heed to your word in such a way that we'll understand that it is truly good to give thanks unto thee. And Lord, that our life would be filled with rejoicing in thee and praising thee and living for thee and allowing others to see Christ in us. I ask you, Lord, to help me as I stand to preach. I can't do this in myself. I'm unable. I pray for the divine enabling of the Spirit of God to rest upon me. And I pray that our hearts would be stirred in a great and mighty way through thy word and through thy spirit. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. What a beautiful portion of Scripture this psalm is. If you were to go and read it, it would all be a blessing to you. But as we look at these first few verses, it begins by saying it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Above that, you'll probably see it says a psalm or a song for the Sabbath day. In other words, this psalm is one that's especially for the Sabbath day, something to be noted on that day. But it's also good and written for every day as you look and see that it talks about days and mornings and evenings. When we give thanks unto the Lord, it causes three things to take place in our life. Very quickly, I want to mention these three things. First of all, when we give thanks unto the Lord, it brings honor to Him. Brings honor to the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 71:8, "Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day." The second thing, another thing it does, is it brings joy to our heart. The psalmist wrote, in Psalm 32:11, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." But thirdly, I think, and very importantly, is it brings help to those that hear. The psalmist said, David said in Psalm 40, and verse 1, 2, and 3, he said, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." So when we're praising the Lord the way that we should, when we're living for God the way that we should, it will bring honor to Him, it will bring joy to our heart, but others that are around it will see it, and they will fear, and they will trust in the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a wonderful thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And as we take inventory of our life, we can ask, what all should we give thanks for? Well, I think every one of us would realize that would take a long time to figure it all out. But I want to give you just a few things before we get into the heart of the message. We can make a list of things and we can go on and on and on. But number one, we ought to give thanks unto the Lord for His provision. Philippians 3:14 is a promise, "My God shall provide all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Well, guess what? His riches are endless. Amen. And you know what else? If you have a need, He can provide. We ought to thank God for His provision. Many of us got together with family this past week and we ate a little bit, took a 2 or 3 second break and ate a little bit more. Maybe sat down and watched a half of a quarter of football and ate a little bit more. We ate one meal, but it started in the morning and it lasted till midnight. We were with people, and day by day, it may be soup, beans, and cornbread, and fried taters, but I want to tell you something. My God shall provide all your need according to His riches in glory. We ought to thank God for His provision in our life. Some may have had a steak. Some may have had turkey. Some may have had pinto beans. But every bit of it was given to us by God. My God shall provide all your need according to His riches and glory. One of my favorite passages of Scripture is in Matthew chapter number 6. And it's a beautiful portion of Scripture. And it talks about how there's fretting over having what you need. And the Lord Jesus is speaking. And He says to lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through. But lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then it goes on and says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body than raiment? And then it goes on to paraphrase, says, look at the fowls of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, but they gather in because God provides. He goes on and says, look at the lilies of the field. Consider the lilies. They grow, but they toil not, and they do not spin. But Solomon, in all his glory, doesn't compare to the beauty of the lilies. And then he goes on and says, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more, He not much more clothe you? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Do you see that? God knows what you need. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what the Bible says. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. We ought to thank God for His provision. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Not only His provision, we ought to thank God for peace. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I can live with His peace every day of my life. I'm happy about that. Everything don't always go the way that I want it to go, but I have peace with Him because He lives in me. When God allows things to happen in my life, and sometimes it's difficult things, and sometimes it's blessed things, but I've come to find out that I can have peace regardless of what's going on. Because Christ abides in me. The day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, He promised me this. He said, I can have His peace. He said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I see all around us Christians that are filled with fear and with trouble. But the Bible says that we can have peace in the midst of the storm. Not only do we see that we have provision and peace, I want you to take note of His promises. And the girl sang about that this morning. And the Bible is filled with promises. And all of them are true. Just to give you a few. The Bible says, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. What a promise. Amen. I remember the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Do you remember the day you trusted Christ? Say amen if you do. Amen. I remember the day. And that day, I received everlasting life. Not the day that I die. I don't enter into everlasting life. But the day that I trusted Christ, I entered into everlasting life. That day I received it. The Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. The Bible says, he that believeth on me hath. That is a present possession. That is not a future tense. It is a present possession. I already have it. When you look at me, you're looking at somebody whose body may be laid in the grave, but I'm never going to die. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a promise. And the Bible goes on, and another promise says, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. He's always there. He said, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. That is a promise from God. You can mark it down. What God promises is true. He says, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send another comforter. How is it that he will never leave us nor forsake us? The way it is because God the Holy Spirit comes to live within us. He said, I have to go away because in the flesh he was limited to the flesh. He was limited to his human flesh. He could not do more than one thing. He could only be in one place at one time. But he said, if I go away, I will send you another comforter. I'll send the Holy Spirit. And everywhere you go, guess what? I'm going to be right there with you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will send another comforter. And then he says, I will come to you. Of course, there's that great passage of Scripture that we hear so often in John chapter number 14. What a promise that is, when after he had already told about, I'm going to be crucified. And then he said, not only am I going to be crucified, I'm going to be going away. And then he said, but before that happens, Judas is going to betray me. Peter is going to deny me. I'm telling you, I mean, it was just like all of a sudden he was hitting on these disciples and they were listening saying, you're going away. You're going to be crucified. Judas is going to betray you. Peter's going to deny you. I mean, their heart was sinking every time he would say something to them. And then he says, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. For not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he said? He said, life's not always easy. Things aren't always going to go the way that you think that they ought to go. One of the 12 is going to betray me with a kiss. The one of the ones that's closest in that most intimate circle, Peter, James, and John, one of those is actually going to deny me 3 times. Third time with a curse, with a vagrancy coming out of his mouth, foul words, going to deny me 3 times. But I want you to know my promise is true. Your heart does not have to be troubled. Everything's going to be okay. Now, yes, I am going away. And yes, I am sending another comforter. But take hold of this promise. I am coming again. And I'm going to get you. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord because of His promises. We see His provision. We see His peace. We see His promises. What about His power? The Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. What about Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Bible teaches us that we have His power in His life. We ought to give thanks for that. Amen. I don't have to knock on one door or hand out one gospel tract in my own ability. I can do it in His power. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit is with me. You remember what Paul said? He was talking about his accomplishments and the things that had happened in his life. And he said, I count them but waste. I count them but dung. That I may know Him. And he says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Paul said, I have His power in my life. All that I am is nothing, but all that He is everything. We ought to thank God for that power. And then we ought to thank God for that purpose. that purpose. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, be predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Chapter 3, verse number 11, the Bible says in verse 11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. God has a purpose for our life. Look at you. Look at me. What do you see? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? You see a sinful person that deserves to die and go to a devil's hell. You see somebody that's not worthy of the blessings of God. But when you look in that mirror and you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to look and say, God has a purpose for my life. And God has a predestined plan that if I would trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, that He wants to fulfill in me. God has a purpose for me. And when you look and sometimes you think I'm worthless, you just remember this. You may be worthless to yourself, but you were worth the life of the Son of God. God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved Mickey. God so loved Jan. God so loved Marietta. God so loved Lydia. God so loved Joe that He gave His only begotten Son. Think about it. And then not only did He die on the cross for our sins, He said, I have a purpose. I give thanks to the Lord for that. That God wants to use somebody like me. You ought to give thanks that God wants to use somebody like you. God has something for you to do. God didn't save us to sit. God saved us to serve. And He wants us to do something with our lives. And He is working out His plan. If we will follow Him, He'll do something great and magnificent with your life. That may not be great and magnificent to others that are around you. To be honest with you, a lot of people, when you serve the Lord with all your heart, with all of your life, people you go to school with, people that you live next door to, people that you shop with, people that you're around every day, they're going to say they're wasting their lives. They could be giving it to industry. They could be giving it to this. They could be making a lot more money than what they're making here. But lay not up for yourselves treasures on the earth. The more you get, it just goes away. Inflation may take it. Stock market may tumble and be gone. The rust and the moth corrupts it. The bills come due. And you work and work and work and work. And by the way, we have to work and we have to earn and we have to pay our bills. That's the right thing to do. But if all I'm doing is laying up treasures on earth, at the end of life, they'll all be gone. But if I lay up for myself treasures in heaven, and I fulfill the purpose that God has, then I'll meet those things. And what a blessed thing it'll be. Treasures are souls of men and women and boys and girls. Treasures are helping others to get the gospel out, and getting the gospel out ourselves. Treasures are the things that are eternal, not temporal. That's what we're talking about. God has a purpose. And God wants to use me, somebody like me, just an old country boy, just an old country boy that don't know how to talk real plain sometimes. And God wants to take and use me to fulfill His purpose. It's an amazing thing to me. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. A good thing. So we agree with the psalmist that it's a good thing. Amen? So let's look again at our text. And very quickly, I want us to see these things. That was my introduction. Seriously. Give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. I just wanted you to see all that we had to give thanks unto the Lord for. And we just started. We didn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. We didn't even carve into the brink of the surface. We just took a brief view of things we had to give thanks unto the Lord. But the Bible says in our text, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound, for thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. First of all, give thanks with a song. With song. The psalmist said, and to sing praises unto thy name, Most High. David wrote back in Psalm chapter 40, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise. And many shall see it and fear, and shall trust the Lord. The Bible says in the New Testament book of Ephesians, chapter number 5, and verse number 19, verse number 19 and 20, The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us here that we are to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing to ourselves. Do you know when God saves you, He gives you a song? Do you understand that? God wants us to sing. Sing to Him. That's what singing's about. It's singing in your heart, in your life. I've been around people that really love the Lord and people that can't sing, but they still want to sing. My dad used to say that he'd give his right arm, as serious as could be, he'd say, I'd give my right arm to be able to sing. And then he got his left middle finger and that finger, about left middle finger mashed off and that one. I said, God took that. He said, I'd still rather have my right arm off and been able to sing. He loves to sing. He just can't do it too well. He took after my grandmother. My mamaw's 99 years old. Y'all hear me talk about her all the time. She's 99 years old. By the way, they had to take her to the hospital last night. She's in the hospital right now. But I remember going to her house during the summer. I'd spent most of the summer at my grandmother's house. And I would go over there. And she would sing all the time. And she couldn't sing, but she had a song in her heart. And she'd be singing them old hymns of Zion. She'd sing Amazing Grace. She'd sing Victory in Jesus. And I'm telling you, it may have sounded horrible to others that were around, but to me it was beautiful because I knew that she lived what she was singing because God had put a song in her heart. And she was determined she was going to sing praises. Now she can't, she don't even remember my sister when she comes in and there's certain things going on. We see, you know, that she's going downhill in certain ways. We understand these things are going to happen, but I'm promising you, she's always had a song. And she was determined she was going to sing. I always worry about people that go to church and they've been saved and they sit there almost with their mouth glued shut and their arms folded like, you're not going to get a word out of me. The way I look at it is you ought to at least mouth the words. If you're afraid somebody's going to hear, mouth the words, you know. Put a smile on your face because God's put a song in your heart. How sad that all creation sings of the glory of God, but His most prized and precious creation many times keep quiet. The bird whistles His praises, and the rivers roar His praise, and the trees magnify His praise, but believers many times are quiet and silent. By the way, for those that God has given the gift to sing, you just remember singing is about the Lord. Raymond Barber said it well. He said, singing is upward, not outward. It's worship, not words. It is edifying, not entertaining. It is to be amened and not applauded. When a song is sung, it should draw men heavenward. Believers should sing His praises. We ought to be lifting up our voice. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, Most High. Not only should we give thanks with song, we should give thanks in the morning. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. There's no better way to start your day than by praising Him and giving thanks unto Him. Whatever the day may bring, whatever the day may throw at you, we can face it better knowing that Christ our Savior is by our side. Hell may
throw its fiery darts at us today, but guess what? Jesus is there.
If we wake up in the morning and we pray and ask for His guidance, for His protection, for His leadership through the day, He will guide us, He will protect us, and He will lead us. Whether blessings come our way or burdens fill our lives, we need the Lord. We ought to begin our day giving thanks unto Him. Thanks for a night of rest, or thanks for a night of unrest, but giving thanks. Every day is a gift from God. Every day is a gift from God. And we need to begin freshly with Him and His loving kindness. We need to seek His direction and His power for the day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Not only give thanks in song, give thanks in the morning. Notice what the Bible says, give thanks in the night. The Bible says to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Friend, we're going to a place, if you're saved, where there will be no night. But until then, God has given us days and God has given us nights, and He's measured our life by these days and by these nights. And just as needful and good as it is to give thanks to the Lord in the morning, it is to give thanks to Him at night. When you look at your day and you see all that's happened, we see His watch care. We see His safekeeping. We see the opportunity to live another day for Him and what He's blessed us with. If you went to work, how He provided that job. If you're looking for work, how you're going to trust Him to provide. Whatever it is you're facing, in the nighttime, we ought to go to rest thanking the Lord. In the morning, when we wake up, we ought to begin the day thanking the Lord. And by the way, I believe it ought to be filled all day with thanksgiving. All the time, continually, give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks with song. Give thanks in the morning. Give thanks in the evening. Give thanks with music. With music. In other words, let music be a part of your life. Not only do you have a song, but you incorporate music into your life. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with the solemn sound. Music, I believe, is a gift from God, and it should be used for His glory and for His honor. We ought to fill our lives with Christ-honoring music. It's important that musicians do their best for Him. Their best. By the way, some people's best may be better than others as far as the world is concerned. But as far as God matters, He knows what your best is. And you do your best for the Lord. It's important. We have these offertories played. I love to hear the people that play the offerings. And to hear that they put something into it. Yeah, I know sometimes we're done with the offering and people have sat down, but guess what? Just as somebody gets up and prepares to sing, God gives people a musical ability and they have prepared to help us to enter into worship through that musical ability. I love to sit and listen to the songs and let God help me and it ministers to me. And think about the words of the songs that they're playing. Music is Godward and it's to usher us there into His presence. Music reminds us of who God is and what He's done for us. And we ought to fill our heart and our home with Christ-honoring music. It ought to be something that's there. By the way, there's great music that's not Christian music, that's not dishonoring to the Lord. But the greatest music is music that honors Christ. Because music was given to us by God, and He wants to use it to help us to understand Him in a greater way. To see Him. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. And then finally, give thanks because of His work in our lives. The Bible says in verse number 4, "For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Through Thy work I will triumph in the works of Thy hands." May His work in our lives be continually on our lips. May we be talking about what God is doing in us and through us and to us. We need to tell people He's at work and they need to see that He's at work in our lives. When I think about His work, and it says, "For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad through Thy work." I think about His work in creation, how in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. I think about His work and the fact that He came through the womb of a virgin. God came into this world and became the Savior of the world. Not only His work in creation and His work as He came, but I think about His work on the cross. What a work that was. The very Son of God. God robed in flesh, hanging on the cross. Not because the nails were holding Him there, but because our sins were keeping Him there. And He nailed our sins to His cross. And He died to pay for our sins. And He said, "It is finished." Work's done. Do you know what I had to do to go to heaven? You know what I had to do to be saved? I had to put my faith in His work that He completed on the cross of Calvary. Thou hast made me glad through Thy work. His work is our benefit. He made us. He redeems us. He secures us. He's coming again for us. He's made us glad by His work, and we will triumph in the works of His hands. It is good. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Are we giving thanks unto the Lord? Is your life filled with thanksgiving? Are you thanking Him for the good times as well as the bad times? Realizing, just as we learned in Sunday school this morning, that the bad times many times were helping to prepare us for what He has ahead. All things working together. It all comes together. It all culminates. Something that happens over here and then something that happens over here, they look like they're just as far apart as can be, but in God's eyes, they're all connected to prepare us for what He has ahead for us. Are we giving thanks unto the Lord with our talk? Are we giving thanks unto the Lord with our walk? Has His work made you a new creature? Have you been born again? Have you trusted His finished work? Is heaven going to be your home? If you've never trusted Christ, why not now? Jesus loves you. Died on the cross for your sins. Promised you a home in heaven if you'll put your faith and trust in Him. If you've already done that, if you've already trusted Him, can we take heed to what the Bible says and realize that it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord? How many of y'all have ever been around somebody that is a habitual complainer? Anybody? I'm not saying you're an habitual complainer. So if you raised your hand, those that raised your hand, I don't want others around you to think that you were talking of yourself. How many have been around people who likes to complain all the time? Anybody? I'm not saying everybody you're around. I'm saying you've been around a person. I just don't like to be around people like that. Really, I don't. I think Christians should not be complainers. I think they should be people that are giving thanks. And when things don't go the way that we thought they would go, we give thanks that God's going to take care of us through it. He's going to provide for it. He's going to give us the strength to live through this difficult time. It's a good thing, friend, to give thanks unto the Lord. Is the life you're living showing your thanksgiving? Do the words you say show others the way? Because it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. People need to see Jesus. And the way that He shows them Himself is through us and through the lives we live. Let's stand to our feet very quietly. As you look at me this morning, we stand to our feet. I want you to think about these things. Giving thanks unto the Lord. What's your life filled with? Is your life filled with praises? Is your life filled with good words for God? Is your walk prove Him to others? Do you speak of Him often? I'm not talking about going around preaching with the finger in somebody's face all the time. But when you go into work, you say, boy, God sure has blessed me. When something takes place, or when some difficult thing happens and somebody's looking at you and they're talking to you about something difficult that's happened in your life, do you say, well, I'm just going to trust the Lord through this? Or do you sit there and gripe and complain like the world's coming to an end? As Christians, we're not to do that. And if we're living in the will of God, we're just going to trust that this is a terrible thing that's happened, but for some reason God has allowed it, and I'm going to trust Him. He'll prove Himself faithful when you live your life according to His will and live in obedience to Him. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, I wish I could open up the scenes of heaven and let you see a Savior that loves you so much that He's standing there and that He's seated there at the right hand of the Father and He's looking down on you, wanting you to come and be a part of this great family to have everlasting life. And He's saying to you, I died for you. I died on the cross. I've already paid for your sins. And I'll take you just as you are. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. Come to me and I'll help you to become what you need to be. And I wish I could open it up and let you see that. But may the Spirit of God show you His love today. Father, we ask You to have Your will and way in this time of invitation. Lord, may we be obedient in our response to Thee. Help those that need to come and trust Thee. Help those of us that are saved. We know that heaven's going to be our home. Help our lives to be filled with giving thanks unto Thee. Teach us, O Lord, to be grateful for Your grace and mercy. And Lord, may Your work be evident in our lives. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, we have people ready to pray.